we are going to spend this beautiful hour on how to meditate and experience the dynamics of meditation. Anything, if you want to achieve, you must have some guiding principles, some way or some means by which you can achieve your destination. Meditation is means, a way to reach yourself. And when you reach yourself, then you find, with your surprise, that you have reached that for which you were longing for a long, long time, from time immemorial, and for which mankind was speaking highly of that state you find there. But as long as we don't reach ourselves, we are not able to reach that which is praised, for which mankind is praying, and which is called highest in the universe. So meditation leads you to yourself. And when you go to yourself, what you find is joy, peace, light and love. These are the four things for which we are craving. We want joy. Everybody in the street or in the office or at home working for what? You get joy. And then you get joy, but at the same time it must be blended with peace. Too much joy, only excitement, leads you to craziness, hypersensitiveness. People go on shouting, making noise, disturbing others, and not finding themselves. So joy must be blended with peace. But at the same time we need love, which enriches our life. We feel satisfied. We feel okay with ourselves. So we don't become beggars to get love from others. Because we are beggars, we don't have. So we are asking bit by bit from others. But we don't realize, how could they give you when they don't have? With all your understanding, you don't have, and you are asking the person who does not have, who does not meditate, who does not read, who does not sit, who does not be quiet, and you find that person who is busy in smoking, drinking, running, making noise, and trying to build only the outer ego. And unfortunately, in the end of our all journey, we find that we were running after mirage. We wanted to have beautiful, sweet water, but we did not go to a lake. We were running after mirage, and that is very distressing and painful and clear fact. But with the help of meditation, when you reach yourself, you find love. There is the reservoir. Really, each consciousness is a reservoir of love. But the reservoir has so many hurdles in between, limitations between to reach there. It is difficult to go there. It is easy to go to the moon, but it is difficult to go to yourself. And I have seen the people who have gone to the moon, brave people, have not reached themselves. I know one or two astronauts, those who have gone to the moon, but coming back they started to become alcoholics. That is, because what they saw was enormous and they could not digest it. They could not put into the fact. There was no environment. Ultimately, they could not bear the vastness what they had experienced. So, to close it, they started taking alcohol. They are now members of AA meeting. Sometimes the dazzling light is so powerful, and when our eyes are not strong to bear the light, what we do is we draw the blinder. Blinder we draw, and with the help of the blinder we close the light, close off. In the same way, we want to know that it is easy to reach the moon, but difficult to reach your heart and your own self. When you reach there, there is love. And that is why great people like Buddha or Mahavira, they left palace, they left kingdom, they left all the luxury, they have all the comfort for which mankind is crying and dying. They went for that reservoir. And when they found, they came with that peace. Somebody called it nirvana, somebody called it perfection, somebody called it universal consciousness, somebody called it moksha, somebody called it liberation. There are various names, but the experience is one. The experience, they were happy with themselves. They were full of love. The love was so much that they could drown any hatred which came to them. Resentment came, but they were not reactionary. All resentment or hatred or anything came from the world, that was drowned in their lake of love, which they found in their own consciousness. And that's why the great people who have gone through the pain of life also, sometimes physical, sometimes outward pain, but you will see their face always serene, calm, and you will see the light in their eyes, smile on their face, and pleasantness in their world. They would not use ugly words. There won't be the fire of anger and jealousy in their eyes. There would be frown on their lips, because they reach them. And outer things do not disturb them. So here we find this love. And where you find love, then you find light. Love is light. Light is love. So you become so rich, you feel the king consciousness, not beggar consciousness. And I am king, satisfied in myself. And that becomes a climax of human life. That is a summit of human achievement, for which we are all born and for which we are all striving. Sure, we are trying to seek happiness, love and peace in outside things. But sometimes we are groping in wrong places. We are groping in wrong places and we are not going where it is. But if you reach that spot where all these beautiful qualities are hidden, you feel that you are king. You are monarch of your consciousness and you are with yourself. So today we are going to explore some means by which we can meditate. People talk about meditation, they say meditation is fabulous, they say it is excellent, it has an incredible influence, and if you meditate, you will feel joy, but they don't know how to meditate. They say, if we have this, we will have everything, but how to have it? And so we need some means, some steps to reach the height. In order to do that, we have to train our body, our senses and our mind, because they are our means. The body in which the soul is dwelling, the mind with the help of that the soul is functioning, and the senses through which the spirit is looking into the universe and using them as windows should be trained. So the first thing what we need is to learn how to be steady, calm, and have some time just to sit quietly. This is the first step. Because of our jitteriness, our body is not quiet. You will see when you look at when you are at the airport or railway station or the street. They are so nervous, they are feeling something, because their mouth works like a machine. People make millions in being dumb. Millions. Only it is, you say 30 cents, but how much 30 cents is accumulated? Somebody told me in Chicago, this is the building which came from the chewing gum party. When I was in Chicago, how chewing gum can create such a big building? Can you imagine? Why they buy so much? They are nervous. They are not able to hold their faith in calm position. They want to do something. People go on sitting, tapping the floor with their feet, if you want. They go on twisting their own toes. They go on biting their nails. Some people's nails are already eaten as though the mouse has eaten their nails at night. Some people go on eating their linings of the nails. Why? This body is beautiful. It is like a temple. But because of our nervousness, because of the bad habits, it is not quiet. The first step in meditation is to sit quietly for a while. But where to sit and when to sit, these are the two questions come. So one has to select a corner where you are comfortable, you are not in the way of the family members, because you live in the family, so the family members should not disturb you and you don't become a hurdle in their movement. to find a small fault wherever. But little bit light and little bit air must reach you. When you have selected a good corner, there you feel that this is your place for meditation. It creates a kind of association, affiliation with the spot where you are sitting. And that spot reminds you to come when you are free and sit here. It beckons you. Places have the language. The spot has its own suggestion and beckoning sign. It beckons. So one spot, you can call it a shrine, or you can call it a spot for meditation, or you can call it, it is a place for my peace. So as you have so many rooms for eating, you have kitchen, you have drawing room for sitting, you have a room for sleeping, bedroom, this is a room for your peace, meditation and contemplation. Then you select time where it is very imperative which time is suitable for you. You select a right time. Right time means in which you don't have so many errands to complete or attend. So you know when to drive in the city, when you see that this is rush hour, so you avoid that time. You know that it will take 2-3 hours. So you select the time when it is not rush hour. And in the same time, you select a time for meditation. It is not rush hour on your mind. If your mind is jammed with the traffic of all the activities, then you are stuck there. You have something to go to the bank, and you have some errand to accomplish, and then you have a phone to call somebody, and you have something to write, and these things disturb you, because certain activities are very connected to your daily activity, and if you don't complete them, then your day is upset. So certain activities demand your attention, and when that attention is there, so you don't have attention in your meditation, so the attention is divided. And any divided attention cannot be a complete attention. So you select a right time. That you have to find out, which is good for you. And generally, we select the morning time. We little bit get up early and give up the addiction of the TV. It is such an addictive. It is like alcohol, like smoking. If somebody sits before the TV and the figures after figures, more on coming, and they create such an interest, so you are not able to leave it, it is half away. And we go on till we are tired, our body is exhausted, our eyes are not able to hold on, but still we sit before the TV. And I have seen people till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, they sit in front. In the morning they get up, they don't have any freshness, tired, exhaustion. And what they have seen in the TV, those figures also go on playing in your sleep. I recommend that before you go to sleep, you meditate and clean your slate, and the figures which are playing on your mind should not disturb your sleep, and you don't have the horrifying and nightmare dreams. The dreams are coming from where? There are the figures which are playing on your consciousness or neurons of your mind.
And when you don't get pleasant, calm, relaxed sleep, your mind is not relaxed. And because of that, wherever you go, you go on creating tension, you go on hurting, you go on using bad words, and the reactions start. So, you select the time. If it is morning time, best. And in order to get morning time, you go to bed little early. And in the morning time, you wash your face, hands, and then you sit and start. So, the time you select. But another thing, sometimes you are not able to get morning time, then you come from the office, wash your hands, and sit, and there also you can sit for meditation. Somebody is not getting time in the evening also. If person gets time in the office and noon time, nobody bothers, one can use the noon time for lunch time and meditation. But that time should be a time for you where the things and thoughts don't come and intervene your feet. So place and time. And now the posture. Posture where you are sitting, so if you can select the lotus posture, it is beautiful. Because that way you are sitting and your spine is straight and meditation becomes easy. But many people are not used to, those who are Westerners, they sit on the chair and their legs are sometimes stiff and they don't feel comfortable when they sit in meditation. So for them, they can have a chair. And that chair, when the back can remain straight and you sit there in the chair or in the lotus posture, but you feel that your body is completely relaxed. And unless your spine is straight, straight must not stiff. There are two different things. Spine must be straight, but it must be still if you relax. So, both things are there. You are relaxed and yet you are straight. Why you need this? Because the energy is moving through this pipeline of this, your spine. Spine is like the pipeline and the circuit is moving through that energy circuit from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top. Messages are carried on through this line and all the vertebra. Through that the energy is so subtle, it is moving. And that energy is carrying all your messages and the message comes back. So somebody touches your toe, it reaches the top of your head, your brain. And it gives you message of who is touching, whether it is a thing or a person. If you see something, a thing, and then you are frightened also, so what must be a thing? And if you see that somebody, pleasant person is touching, you feel good by this. The touch is the same. In one, there is a fear, in another, there is pleasantness. Who creates the feeling of pleasantness and who creates the terrifying feeling of fear? Okay. The touch is the same, but how the touch is interpreted? The mechanism, the thought mechanism is there which interprets all your happenings in the world. So to carry this message, which is such a scientific way to watch and understand, that all these functions are carried away and the communication of the energy and touch and feeling, all the five senses communication is going through the spine to the top. And that is why in Sanskrit the two centers are known as, one is Mooladhara. Moola means the root. And the top is known as a sahasrara, means thousand petals blossoming top. So this way you are now experiencing now the energy and the movement of the energy through your spine. So when you are sitting for meditation, your spine must be straight. Now we go and understand how many centers we have in the body. So just to have some acquaintance with this, we have seven centers. One is on the top of the head, another is in the center of the brow, third is in the voice box, fourth is in the heart center, fifth is in the navel, sixth is in the pelvis, and seventh is at the bottom of the vertebra, near coccyx. These are the seven centers. Now when you start meditating, to energize your energy, to stimulate this energy, to awaken this energy, you use a special technique. And the technique is very ancient, thousands of years ago it was used, and the word is RIM. H-R-I-M. RIM. RIM is a word. The meaning of the word is universal consciousness. But here, we are using it as a technique or means to experience that state. So, how to use it? Let us go into this method. And there is a book, and you will see that when person sits and when inhales, so when you inhale, slowly counting 2 seconds. First you inhale slowly and go to the voice box. Rest for 2 seconds and then you go to the heart. Then you go to the navel. Then you go to the pelvis. And slowly when you are inhaling, go to the bottom of the vertebra. So you have such 5 centers. Now you allow the energy to go through your spine and let it reach the top of the head. And when you exhale, it goes through your nostril. So touching the top of the head and 7 centers that you are exhaling. Now these 7 centers are activated with the help of the meditation and the word RIM and with the breath. So when you inhale, you use the word RIM, and you slowly you go on feeling till you reach the bottom of the vertebra, and at each center you spend 2 seconds. So by the time you reach the bottom of the vertebra, there are 10 seconds. And when you are using RIM, MA, and you allow the energy to go through your spine, and when you vibrate on the top of the head, you feel the vibrations are opening the lotus of your head. So there is a beautiful lotus light on the top of the head. So you are visualizing, it is opening, and then you are slowly exhaling. So now we are meditating together, and when I say inhale, so you go on inhaling slowly, and when I say use RIM, that time you take the energy and let it go through your spine. So first you inhale and just feel that in each center or in each spot you are staying, halting for 2 seconds, 10 seconds, and after 10 seconds you use the RIM, and when you use RIM with the force of this energy, or the mantra or the word, the energy will move or the mantra will become like a propeller to take out the energy through the spine, and you visualize the energy is moving through your spine. But you know that this energy which moves upward, and you are attentive, then you feel the breath. If you are in tune with the breath, then you feel the movement of this energy in your spine, and then you see that it is opening your all the cells or neurons of your brain, and you feel that all the cells are now pulsating. So you feel the vibration. But when I mention H-R-I-M, the H in English is very soft. But this ancient H had a very heavy connotation. So when you say soft, so you feel a throb in the belly or near your navel. Throb. And this throb, when you use this, so you feel some contraction in your diaphragm. And with that, you are using the energy, so immediately the energy moves upward. And so, throb. So you feel that there is a throb in your navel. And with that, the vibration will move on. So let us start this and see how you are feeling. So just now, slowly for 10 seconds, inhale. And then you feel just the vibrations of the sound which is resounding on the top of your head, and feel the opening of all the neurons. And when the neurons are open, you feel the presence of light. Let us do 3 times. Inhale. Vibration of wind opens your various centers, and each center is holding the dormant energy, and this dormant energy is now unfolded. It is activated. It is becoming your energy of awareness. But people don't experience it because it is closed like a lotus. It is in the bud form. And it is in the bud form and it is closed, so you don't experience. But when you are meditating and using this breathing and concentration, you are gradually unfolding. And one thing one has to know, unless you concentrate the energy, it is not going to become power. It becomes only power where it is concentrated, it is converged. And when energy is not converged, it flitters away. I give an example. C. Raman got the Nobel Prize, and when he was honored, that time he addressed for a few minutes to the elite of the city, and he did not explain his achievements and other things, but he gave an example. That how did I concentrate on my work, that I want to tell the elite of the nation. And he took out a magnifying glass. He told that when I was 10 years old, my father took me out into the garden and told me that, "Dear son, come, I want to talk to you." So we were sitting in the garden and my father asked me to collect some blades of grass. So I collected and he asked me that, "Can this son borrow this blade of grass?" So I laughed and told him that, "How could this son borrow this blade of grass?" Then he took this magnifying glass and he held all this blade of grass, and within few minutes the fire burst out. They were ignited. So I was surprised, he told the audience, that the same pieces of grass were lying there for years and years, the sun was burning there, but there was no change. But you concentrate energy, it becomes solar energy. Energy is there, but we don't concentrate. That is why we are not using the solar energy. We have this energy in us, but it is filtered away. So my father told me that, "I don't want to tell you in future what to do and what not to do. It is your life. You can make your life or mar it. It is up to you. If you make it, you will be benefited. If you mar it, it will be a loss to you. But if you want to have a success in your life, just use your energy in this form as this what you call concentrated form, and bring your energy on one at a time. What you do, do with concentration. Don't allow other things to intervene and interfere. And see, there is nothing in the world you cannot succeed." And all the great people who have succeeded in their life, they have achieved their destination with one point in mind, with concentration. Paying attention to one at a time. any person is divided into two is torn out. You cannot ride two horses at a time. They will tear you away. Ride one horse and reach your destination. Meditation means this. So, first thing what it teaches you, that you are learning the art of concentration. And that is not with any outside influence, but by training your mind, training your breath, training your body, training your senses. So posture teaches you how to train your body. Then your visualization teaches you how to train your senses. So we have visualization. When you visualize, first you start with your own body. You sit and close your eyes and use your imaginary faculty. And you see in your imagination how you look. So you become your witness. Your power of imagination becomes so active. And Einstein mentioned that without imagination, nobody is going to achieve any fulfillment in science. All the great scientists have a great imagination. And then they use their faculty how to implement that imagination into the action. They imagine that one can reach to the moon. That was an imagination idea. But ultimately, they started working on that imagination and it came into the action. So all the great achievements start with some kind of imagination. It's a great gift to imagine, but it is a curse for them who imagine and are not able to put into action. It is any imagination without action is abortion. You conceive but produce nothing. So whatever you imagine, there are people who imagine for years, they want thinking, but they don't have guts and energy to put into that. They imagine big things, but they don't take one step to move. You take one step. A journey to 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And one small step is going to lead you where you want to go, but don't go on 1,000 steps, otherwise you will not be moved. You won't be able to move. You will be paralyzed in your fear. How I would plan the 1,000 steps and 1,000 miles? One step. So here, the concentrated energy on one pointedness is giving you a door to enter in. It opens the door when you concentrate. Because you are one with that. How long it is going to close the door to you if you go on looking at it, thinking and meditating on it? Ultimately, it has to open its door. So, this solar energy infused because of the concentration. In the same way, our energy of thought is a powerful thought. Our means or the instrument, our thought is a great. All achievements can come with the thought, but the thoughts are filtering and they are wandering around and they go into 100 directions. So we train. We train our thoughts, and you know, even a trained dog performs so many tricks. In the street I was walking one day in Bombay, and one man brought a monkey, and he asked the monkey, how would you go to the job? So the monkey started walking like a gentleman. So I said, well, if the gentleman learns from this monkey, it will be good. And then you say, how are you going to sit? So he put a small box and the monkey cage, and putting one leg upon another, sitting like a gentleman on the box. So you sit like a gentleman in the chair. I thought this monkey, we compare our mind with monkey. If the monkey can be trained, why not our mind? But we don't want to train. We are lousy. We think that if we take some medicine or some kind of drug or some kind of thing, we will get. We are not going. We are not going to get away with our mind. It is going to destroy us, and people are destroying. So here we have to see that this energy, which is very great energy, it is rare energy. The energy of thinking, energy of thought, energy of imagination should be harnessed. And when you use this energy, if there is any frown, take it off. If there is any anger, drop it. If there is any resentment which creates tension on your lips and cheeks, you change it. And one by one, change each part of your body. And I tell you, within 1 year, you will change the whole disposition and pour out of your face. You will be entirely different. Your friend will start asking, what kind of cosmetic are you using? What kind of cream? You are so soft, so gentle. What is that? But you are changing yourself. All the cells are changed according to our thoughts. When you are fear, your face becomes yellow or pain. When you have anger, you see a flush of blood on your face. When you are full of resentment, you can count your heartbeats. They are uneven. When you are in anxiety, how you feel that you lose hunger, appetite, you don't have any desire to eat. And when you are worried, you see your mouth is dry and your tongue sticks to your palate. What happens? These emotions are changing our metabolism, our cells. And with so much scientific research, why do we not practice it? We can make our life as we want to be. We can make it happy, we can make it pleasant, we can make it very creative and full of energy, and we can live long. So, meditation is not a gift of Santa Claus, and we are all spoiled because of the idea of Santa Claus. It is really making us dependent, and we don't want to stand on our feet. From the childhood, the idea of Santa Claus over here is a temptation, giving a free treat. And we put something in the socks in the morning, children get up, oh, the Santa Claus left for you at night. That fantasy has not left even the people of 60 or 70. Only the form changes. Some grace is going to depend on them. And there are many fathers who exploit them. Grace is wrong, but just now fill up our pockets. But one has to work. And when one works, one is able to change. So this body, you look and see and find out why you are angry, why there is tension, why there is dryness in your mouth, why your eyes are so tightening and angry. Why? What are you holding in your heart which is changing your disposition? And we really, with attention we work, we are able to flush out all these negative things, and which is very nice. And when you see in your imagination that you look good, you are present. And in each part of the body, there is flow of energy. You are relaxing. You really feel that day that you are happy and you got something unique that day. So the reaction you will see in the office, in your with your peers, and when you meet, you are happy and they say, "Oh, good day." And when you are cheerful, you bring out all your cheerfulness wherever you go. You go on always receiving and giving to others this kind of feeling to others, because you have and you go on feeling this kind of fear, joy, and you don't have fear. So, imagination, in your imagination, you have to look good to yourself, not to others. What people tell, and what does it make any difference if you don't tell yourself? You tell yourself and say, "Okay, I am okay, I look nice, I am all right." And go with this okay feeling. And your friend will say, "Okay, what you believe, they believe. If you don't believe, they don't believe." Because you are giving vibes to them to say what you want to say. So the world is an echo point. And the echo point echoes according to your expression. And the day you say it's a good day, they have to nod their head and say, "Yes, it is a good day." And you say, "Oh, it is lousy." "Yeah, yes, it is really, it is very hot day." They don't think it's sunrise, they say it's a very hot day. So you are saying for the sun. "Now it is, you know, it is very hot." So if the sun comes, if you don't feel perspire, then what do you expect from that? It is Corona, it is good, you feel good. You have not to go and pay money and you are feeling the Sona energy, you are perspiring, reducing your extra weight. But we don't use it there. That way, we don't look at it. So, little bit as some heat makes us upset. It is our mind, I think. Why you don't feel the same heat in Sona? Because your mind has conceived that idea. That this way I am going to be very healthy. What health comes to you is up to your understanding, up to your meditation, up to your imagination, and up to your feeling. So we feel here first in us, and we don't go out to ask anybody's opinion. So what do you think about me and how do I look? He said, "I look good." And somebody tells you that you don't look good, then you tell that you might have burnt your toast today morning. So that's why you are projecting your problem in me. I am all right. So if somebody tells you, you don't believe his word. Because who knows, he might have lost or spoiled his breakfast and that person is projecting the pain of her or his breakfast unto you. Don't believe. You believe in your conviction. What you feel is more important. And in order to feel this kind of thing, the first step in meditation is to doing dreams, you start seeing yourself. When you start seeing with the energy, you are coming closer and closer to yourself and you see and you have the power to unfold. So the first, when we start meditation, we are like a bud which is closed. But when we complete our meditation, we are like a beautiful lotus which is completely open. And how much open you are in your energy, That is the criteria to measure your meditation. How much you have opened to yourself, that does not make you vulnerable. Vulnerable. Many people think that doing that you become vulnerable, but you are not, because you are opening to yourself, so nobody has the power to influence you. So, today our meditation goes with this fact. One, to realize that we are here for joy and for peace, for love and light. And in order to experience them, we train our body, selecting time and place. Then we train our senses through the imagination. And other ideas we will talk next week, because with this meditation technique we will complete in two meditation sessions. And then the third, you are watching your breath and now using ring. So this week you use ring word and lift your energy and how you feel, and you will be ready for coming next week. Namaste.